If you've been considering buying a new vehicle, one thing you'll find is that new car prices have gone up just a little.
So after tax, title, and licenses, your new two-door Hugo with premium cassette stereo system will be $67,000.
Say what?
Why spend the money on a new vehicle when you can get all the latest features and make your current car, truck, or SUV sound and function like new simply by visiting your local Audio Express?
Alarms from just $99 installed.
Remote start systems from just $129 installed.
Kenwood's latest AM/FM CD with Bluetooth, music streaming, and smartphone control. Just $129.
A beautiful 11.2-inch drop-down screen with DVD and headphones. Just $229.
Receive a free backup camera with any in-dash AM/FM touchscreen purchase.
Don't forget, Audio Express offers easy financing,
as well as our special no-credit-needed payment plan.
See our ad in the Riverfront Times and check out AudioExpress.com for special web-only coupons on the location nearest you.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Some kids have it, some kids don't. Some of us.
William T. Gilman, sir. It's Ryan Kelly Morning After. This is CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Sullivan Vaughn with you. Rick Hummel joining us at 8:30. Kelly Chase, 9 o'clock. Coming up in a matter of moments, Nick Kyprios of the Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada coverage, talking Blues and Stars. Game 6 at the Scott Trade Center this evening. 7 o'clock drop of the puck in the Blues. Hope to advance to the Western Conference Finals for the first time since 2001 with a victory over Dallas. Baseball is in full swing, and you can experience the thrill of daily fantasy baseball season-long at DraftKings.com. With daily fantasy at DraftKings, there are no season-long commitments. It's like a brand-new season every time you play, and playing is simple. Just draft two pitchers and eight position players, stay under the salary cap, and outscore the competition to turn your love of baseball into cash. Only DraftKings brings the excitement of fantasy baseball to this level, with every strikeout, diving catch, and monster home run bringing you closer to payday. Millions of sports fans, millions of fantasy sports fans just like you have already cashed in at DraftKings. Now it's your turn. New contests start daily, so hurry to DraftKings.com now. Here's the promo code 920. Use the promo code 920 and play for free with your first deposit in today's $10,000 fantasy baseball contest. That's promo code 920 to play for free in today's $10,000 fantasy baseball contest only at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Nick Kyprios in a matter of moments. And we'll be joined by Rick Hummel at the bottom of the hour. And our listeners thoroughly enjoy hearing from Kelly Chase after every Blues game. And that will continue throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs. And he is presented by GFI Digital. Here is what Alexander Steen said about what Brian Elliott has been doing so far. This is soundbite number 6.
Him and Jake, you've been the story all year. Calm, cool, collected, big saves at key times. He made a huge one in the third period there. I think it's on Eakin on the back door. It's just poised. Just comes across, makes himself big, stops the puck, and then it's like, that's business as usual. Took the puck and went the other way. We're getting it all the time. He's extremely consistent in his preparation and his play. He's been playing great.
How about that? How about the net minding? That there was even a debate about 7-8 weeks ago as to who the Blues goalie would be, and now the performance they're getting almost every game, if not every game really at this point, playing a total of 12 games already, and I don't think you can really bitch about anything.
Yeah, I don't remember a soft goal anywhere in the playoffs. I don't know the last bad goal that Elliott allowed. Don't remember it.
That one the other night, there was no angle. But, I mean, that was a really good shot. He's been outstanding. He's been their best player, no question.
The National Blues Museum is the presenting sponsor of our daily Blues guest during the Stanley Cup playoffs, 615 Washington Avenue in downtown St. Louis. It's an interactive museum with videos and computer exhibits. They have live music performances going on Saturday afternoons. They're open 7 days a week. Check it out at nationalbluesmuseum.org. They're the presenting sponsor of our daily Blues guest. And right now we go to the appliances counter phone lines and talk it over with Nick Kyprios of Hockey Night in Canada. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very good. In St. Louis, there is a great deal of excitement regarding tonight's Game 6, an opportunity for the Blues to close out the number one seed in the Western Conference Finals. With a win, they advance to the Western Conference Finals themselves. Your thoughts on what we're going to see tonight at the Scott Trade Center?
Well, I would hope we would see a team out of St. Louis that will close this thing out, much like Tampa Bay. I don't think they are interested in jumping on a plane and going and extend this thing. So I would hope we'd see the killer instinct tonight.
In terms of the matchup of the two teams, it just seems the Blues are a little deeper. I know the Stars have a couple of key players out, and not having Sagan is a huge problem for them. But it just seems like the Blues have more talent down the line.
Oh, without a doubt. And I think we saw that with Yaskin coming in and giving them a quality, you know, 8-9 minutes. He gets a goal. Scotty Upshaw, who I think has been terrific throughout the whole season, is another guy that when you get in your third, fourth line situations, can come in, skate well, a big hitter, you know, can turn pucks over, and he can score a goal too. And that's what Dallas is missing here. You get into their fourth line, and there's not much there. So, again, that's the depth that you're talking about, and I think has been the difference in the series.
This is the second long series in a row for the Blues. At this point, how much of a factor is fatigue, conditioning, age of the players? Is that kicked in yet?
I don't think we see that because they're a pretty smart team. And Ken Hitchcock and his coaching staff with Shaw and Kirk Muller, too. They're smart guys. I think that when we see Dallas having some success, they're going about 1,000 miles through the neutral zone, and we saw that the other day in the first period where Dallas got off to a good start, and then St. Louis starts being that big, strong team that leans on you, and they stop Dallas from generating that speed, and they can actually slow things down somewhat. And that's when the Blues are at their best, is when they're playing about 6 feet off the walls and not necessarily having pucks through the middle of the ice. And when you play that style of play and you're big and strong to begin with, then I don't think fatigue and being tired really comes into play as much as a team like Dallas where they need their legs going. So I think style of play is certainly favored St. Louis, and it will continue as we progress here.
You know, I agree with you. I just think the Blues, when they're right, when they're playing their game, dictate so much of what happens in a game. If you're Dallas, I wonder how you even try to counter that.
I don't know. I don't think you can, to be quite honest with you. And you can appreciate some of the skilled guys that Dallas has. Like, Kleinberg's a good guy in terms of creating stuff. But, you know, he can't play those heavy minutes. And he's not 215 pounds. He's 185 pounds. And once you get those 6'2", 6'3" guys leaning on you, it wears. It wears you right down. And I think that's been the case now as we go deeper in the series.
Tyler Seguin apparently not going to play for Dallas again tonight. I guess he didn't even make the trip to St. Louis. You think this would have been a different series if he had been available?
You know what? I don't know that, to be quite honest with you. And I appreciate Tyler Seguin as a world-class player. But, again, he's another guy that has got great speed and can generate through the neutral zone, and he's a rush guy. And you just wonder if St. Louis' style of play would have gotten to him, too. Listen, there's no question they would have loved to have him in the lineup, and a goal here or two can always make a difference. But one guy, I'm not 100% sure that this series would look much different than it does right now. They were lucky to get him back to begin with. It was a long shot when he tore his tendon that he was going to come back in 3 or 4 weeks. What ended up happening is they started getting the situation where the muscles were overcompensating that tendon, and then he started hurting himself in other areas. And I don't think we're going to see him back anytime soon.
I'm with you. I hope that the Blues feel the urgency to end this thing tonight and not have to go back out on the road. But home ice really doesn't factor into the equation sometimes in the playoffs. Why is that? I know that there's some teams during the regular season are really good on the road, but most of the time when you have home field or home ice, it's a huge advantage.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a psychological thing anymore or what. I personally still like it in a Game 7 scenario. We certainly saw that with the Blues against Chicago. There's a comfort zone when it really comes down to it. But at the same time, it really comes down to how you've prepared yourself in the game, whether or not you can get a lead, whether or not you can protect it, that sort of stuff. So you're right. The record doesn't speak very well for home teams in general during this spring. But when it comes to crunch time, I'll take it anytime.
When a team like Dallas is facing elimination now, what does that pressure do to guys? Do most guys tend to play better or tighter, or what does that? What kind of effect does that have?
Well, it's an experience for sure, and Dallas is still fairly young, and the team that's still managing its success. I always liked Dallas as a great offensive team. We weren't sure where their goaltending was going to be this year, and for the most part, the split between Niemi and Lehtinen is very good. Right, they both got 25 wins during the regular season. It enabled Dallas to have a great season in the Western Conference, but is it working now? Is it you still like that one guy scenario situation? And in many ways, I know you guys were talking about Allen and Elliott, and you know, if it wasn't for Allen getting hurt at the latter part and Elliott grabbing it by the throat, we could probably might have this conversation as well on who do you go to. But Elliott's been so good that doesn't really matter. But for Dallas, I think it's been a heck of an experience already. And again, managing success is a hard thing to do. St. Louis has had a couple of cracks at it. Dallas is still learning.
Nick Kiprios of Hockey Night in Canada with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, brought to you by the National Blues Museum. Nick, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Okay, guys, enjoy the game tonight. We certainly will up here.
Looking forward
to it.
Thanks, Blues, Nick. Stars, game 6 this evening at the Scott Trade Center. The atmosphere should be phenomenal this evening.
You going to go or you going to watch on TV?
I don't know. Actually, on this one, I'm going back and forth. Since it is a 7 o'clock start, it could be doable.
Go.
No, it's not that simple.
Go.
We will see. I don't know.
I'll handle security from the airplane.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, because I'm going to be on a flight, but I'll have boots on the ground.
Will you be able to watch it?
I'm hoping. They depending on the different planes, some have TVs, some do not, and the streaming they have doesn't allow me to watch games.
Oh yeah.
So it depends on what plane we get.
So you may not be able to watch
on your
phone.
I have a feeling there's a lot of Cardinal folks, a lot of the players will be wanting to see that game as well.
Kenrick's Meats, a great sponsor of not only this show, but also the golf tournament this Friday at Normandy. Family-owned and operated for over 40 years. If you're barbecuing, make sure you get your meats from Kenrick's. It's St. Louis's largest butcher shop. Kenrick's has provided the St. Louis area with the freshest, highest quality meats since 1945. They are located at 4324 Weber Road. Whether you're barbecuing or you want to get some barbecue that's already taken care of, Kenrick's is the place to go at Kenrick's.com. Call Kenrick's for backyard barbecues, graduations, or any other occasion with their fully prepared food for pickup or delivery. 314-631-2440. That's 314-631-2440. They're at Kenricks.com, 4324 Weber Road. Thrill your grill with Kenricks Meats. We will be looking forward to the fun and games from Kenricks and Bud Light for the golf tournament this Friday. Live broadcast of the Ryan Kelly Morning After at Normandy. And we look forward to all the listeners in attendance for both the 7:30 and the 1 p.m. shotgun starts for the free Dotem Open and the after party at Over Under on Washington Avenue. Doug, pony up for the ages, they're saying.
What time is the after party, Tim?
6 until question mark.
Oh, wow.
Question
mark. Boy, that does add an air of mystery to it.
You going to go to the after party? After
well, show, I'll be, I have a date that night. I have a date with Lady Journalism. So I
what
won't
time
be...
will you get off the air?
10:30.
Well, you just shoot on over.
Isn't Tim, you need to go to the game. You deserve it, man. We need you there. You're the best. Remember
oh,
that.
For heaven's sakes.
From the 636. Thinking about giving that the text of the day.
No, I wouldn't.
It's a free roast beef sandwich at Lion's Choice.
Excessive lemonading. We need you there.
I have one of your lemmings on Twitter right now.
What's going on?
Well, I just said that I enjoy being attacked on radio for not being ready to throw in the towel on May 9th. Now feel free to attack me on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And someone just put the definition of straw man as if I created a straw man. Which is something you point out from time to time, but I have not created a straw man.
Well, I don't think you create straw mans. Straw men? But straw mans? Doug, is it straw mans or straw men?
But I think when a lemming hears you say that, they by
they
habit
use it?
Just regurgitate what you've said, mm-hmm. I think.
I don't think you're straw man. I really don't, being sincere. I don't think that what you're saying is a straw man.
I don't think it's that far out of step with what a lot of people think. Yeah, I understand why
I disagree with you, but I don't think it's a straw man.
Right. And I also understand that people are frustrated with guys in certain spots in the batting order. I get it when they're not producing. Is it time now to move them? Maybe. I don't know. But like I said, I still think that this team can get it right and play a lot better. And if that makes me a rights holder, that's fine. I think that's a fair and balanced type of opinion, though. Again, I think the problem has been starting pitching moreover than anything. Because I anticipated them winning a lot of close games, low-scoring games anyway.
And in the big picture, the offense has been quite good.
Yeah, very good. As I said, I didn't expect them to be a six-run-a-game team.
They've been
good
shut
against
down.
Crappy teams.
They've been shut down by some good pitchers, but a lot of teams are shut down by good pitchers.
They didn't face Arrieta or Lester. I mean, it's the first time they faced Cole. It's just, I mean, that's just, you know, whatever. It's fine. I'll just keep saying this all season long. It doesn't matter. Maybe I'll be wrong. It'd be great if I'll be wrong. Just kind of, this is the cost of doing business in baseball. Very rarely do you see teams. I think the Cardinals at this time have kind of gone through three different cores that have, with the exception of 07, even 07, though, the record wasn't like horrible. But to be able to continue it for this long, I just view it's the cost of doing business. I mean, what would you rather have, a bad 2016 or Matt Holliday do what he did from 2009 through 2000, whatever year you would say you were satisfied with, 2014? And you got to pay for these contracts, and so you have it on the back end. The thing that I didn't understand in the offseason, but, you know, I mean, again, considering the longevity of the stability in competition from the organization, and by that I mean they're in it every single year or winning the Central or winning a pennant or winning the World Series, I mean, they earn equity from my standpoint. So that's why I'm not going to get angry about this. The thing that I just was surprised by this offseason is that they really focused more on pitching than they did on offense by targeting specifically Price, and then I guess targeting Hayward, number two on the list, which doesn't really either one of them address the offensive issues, which have caused them to come up short the last couple of years in the postseason. Obviously, when you win 100 games, you didn't come up short over the course of a regular season. So this is the cost of doing business. You have Yadier Molina, who I would have thought would have been a negative from a lineup standpoint. He's hitting, not for power, but he's certainly hitting. It seems like he's adjusted to what he is now, and God, that's so damn impressive to me. Holliday, unfortunately, it's not there. And then you've had a couple guys who you would have anticipated doing a hell of a lot more, being relegated to the bench in the case of Colton Wong. Matt Carpenter had a couple big hits this weekend, winning the game on Saturday. You'd like to think that that's not some decline that's beginning early. I don't think that's the case there. But just overall, it's essentially the same offense with the windfall that is Aledmys Diaz as the best hitter, who would have been in Memphis had it not been for the Johnny Peralta injury. So I didn't understand that in the offseason. But with that said, where would they have been able to put people in?
Well,
because they were stuck with
some of these guys who are pieces that are probably on the decline and therefore declining assets, but it's not like you can just wave them like in the NFL. You just got to kind of deal with it, and it's the cost of doing business. So I can't get upset about that. I get upset about moves that I see solutions for and they don't make, such as Holiday. I mean, upset is an overstatement. I just disagree with it. Holiday and the three potentially bad contracts or trades, but I don't really have a whole lot to bitch about when it comes to bad contracts or trades. I just didn't think it was going to be a great year this year.
They have money. There's no question that the Cardinals, regardless of whatever their current contract status is with certain players, they have a lot of money. They were willing to spend it. I mean, they really thought they had Price. They gave it a shot with Hayward, thought they had a good shot at that. Some of these other guys that Cardinal fans really wanted them to go out and get, the Cardinals felt like it was a better value for them to go with the guys that they had. You know, that they thought guys like Grichuk would be someone that can turn them around offensively. Some of the guys like Piscotty, as opposed to going out and spending a lot of money on guys that they thought were going to eventually be bad contracts. And they've done a good job trying to avoid those over the years.
Right, and that's the reason why they've been able to be successful from 2000 through 2015. 1 year that I think you can go, okay, that, but then they got so damn injured in 2007. And that's because they haven't, with the, I mean, like, the worst contract in this run has been Tino Martinez. And that was really kind of taken care of. And they still performed in both 2002 and 2003. So that's a credit to the organization that you don't take bad contracts. Now, with the benefit of hindsight, granted it's only 30 games worth of hindsight, would you have liked to have had Cespedes? Would you have liked to have had Chris Davis? Now, some people wanted that during the offseason. Guy I really liked was Upton, but I remember discussing that with you, and you said in talking with the Cardinals, they thought what they had was better. That's their opinion, and based on what they've done over 15 years, and Mazalak has been a part of every one of these years, GM for eight of them, I'm going to yield to that, of course.
And I've said during the offseason, and I'll call back to it again, I admitted that with all the things, there were a lot of things that had to go right for this team to be really good in the early going and just have a remarkable run. And we haven't seen it to this point. Does that mean that they can't get it going again? I think they can, so I'm not willing to throw in the towel, so feel free to light up the text line.
If they had gotten the two guys in the offseason they wanted to get, we would be in a serious panic right now because Price struggled in Boston. Hayward has done nothing with the Cubs. Hayward's hitting .212 without a home run. We'd be saying, oh,
nice
my God, we just paid $200 million for an outfielder that can't hit. Hayward's hasn't put up anywhere close to the numbers that Piscotty has put up. So it could be that those two contracts not being signed is going to be the best thing long-term that could have happened.
Yeah, well, I would have been excited about David Price giving Hayward what the Cardinals supposedly, and I really don't know, offered him. I wouldn't have been on board with that. I think that was a mistake. Now, the Cubs, however, were in a different position to do it because they didn't need offense. They viewed it as, you know, I'm sure a great ball player, 26 years old, but a hell of a defensive asset for the Cardinals. I viewed it as offense. I'm going, God, this guy, I mean, he's fine.
Well, I don't think the Cubs wanted to pay $20 million a year for a defensive right fielder.
But they didn't need offense.
They had different
offense.
Glaring needs.
Right.
Nonetheless, you wouldn't shell that money out if you thought you were just getting a club.
Well, as I just said, I wouldn't have done it, and I would have been disappointed. Just like if they would have signed Pujols to what they supposedly offered Pujols after the 2011 season. Bad deals, man, and bad deals can hamstring you. It wouldn't surprise me if in a couple years they're going, oh, my God, we're stuck with Hayward for this much longer. You know, those are the ones you don't want. I'm sure they're thinking that in Anaheim. They were thinking that in Anaheim 3 years ago with Albert. And the Cardinals have avoided those. You know, but with that said, this offensive issue has been something that has been talked about for a couple of years, in the postseason in particular. And it killed them in 2013 against the Red Sox, even though that was a team that just, you know, went totally from an outlier standpoint with the runners in scoring position. 2014, they were decent in the playoffs against the Giants. That was more, I don't know what was going on there with roster makeup and managerial decisions. I don't know if it would have helped anyway with the team being beat up at that point. And then last year, I think they just were beaten by a better team. So I just think they were kind of stuck with what they had this year, and it's still possible that they can be a very successful team.
But it just, as we said throughout, all three of us said this, and I think a lot of Cardinal fans said it as well in the offseason, there's just a lot of question marks going into the year, and so a lot of things have to line up in order for it to be a damn good year.
And they haven't to this point. You point to Wong, you point to Grichuk, slow start for Holiday, and the starting rotation hasn't been as good as I thought.
No, even what they did or didn't do offensively in the offseason, if they got the kind of season from Wainwright that you normally get, and if they'd gotten anything at all from Mike Leake at this point, they'd probably be about four or five games better off than they are right now.
Different feel. That's where I thought their strength was going to be, bullpen first, starting pitching, and the offense was going to be what it was, good enough to win games 4-3, 3-2. We haven't really seen that. So, like I said, we'll go to that six runs a game. I'm not saying they're a six run a game. I agree that there's a lot of merit in what Tim says. They haven't faced a lot of the great pitchers that they will end up lining up against, but I think it's good enough to win games when they get the kind of pitching I thought they'd get.
Doug John Vaughn is here.
I see him out there.
What a treat this is.
What has he got?
Your son, John Vaughn, is here.
Yes.
John, would you like to come in?
Oh, my.
What has he got?
Look at this.
Arnold Palmer.
What a wonderful treat.
Hi, buddy.
John Vaughn, God bless. Look at this.
A birthday cake made up of...
I love you.
Father, I love you so
much. Oh, my God!
What a touching moment.
Thank you, John Vaughn.
Ring that bell one more time. How about 60 times?
Oh, lemon meringue pie.
You're a good son.
Sparkling cider.
Doug, you like lemon meringue pie?
I love lemon meringue.
He is a great father.
Best father there is.
Well, thank you for all these Arnold Palmers, especially.
I love you, Dad.
Well, okay.
54 more rings, John.
You need money or something?
That'll help.
I want money.
What are you giving him, a 20 spot, yo?
I think he wants money.
Did you put the age on there?
Here. Take the money. Take the cash.
Is that how old he is?
He doesn't look that old, but that's how old he is, yes. Yes.
Doug doesn't like that out there, so I'm not going to say it. I'm going to go with 40.
Charlie's on a 40. Quest to, for whatever reason, discuss Doug's age. I have no idea what
that's
about.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He really is into that. That's his thing.
Well, thanks for the lemon meringue pie. We'll slice that up and have some now.
I even have plates and everything.
Oh, well, this John Vaughn. How about this guy? Wow.
For a son to do that for his father must mean, Doug, you're a wonderful father. I knew it all along.
You want some right now?
We probably shouldn't eat in the middle of a Cardinal offensive discussion.
But it's your birthday, and the Blues are going to wrap it up, and the Cardinals are going to go to the West Coast, and they're going to win every game the rest of the season.
You can leave it there. We'll get to it, but I just don't think we can eat it right this moment.
Doug, it's your birthday. What do you want, Doug?
Yeah, it's whatever you want.
Well, I'm fine just with our normal discussion.
Would you like some lesbianism?
Now,
we have candles.
Oh, okay. You put the candles on that.
Awesome, Erica.
And I'll tweet that out.
I already gave you the money.
You want to tweet it out, Jimmy?
Yeah, let's put some candles on.
I already gave you the cash.
This is what it's all about.
Because you spend your life doing it for your kids, and then it's time for them to do for you, and look what he does. He makes it a wonderful day, Doug.
Mm. Yeah,
I've always said, I look for feedback because I'm still new at being a dad. Mm-hmm. I get guidance from Doug because his sons are people to be proud of.
Did you see what the key was there, the $20 that changed hands?
See, there was a payoff for this.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm not going to tweet out because you did do the number, and I don't want to.
Charlie will somehow get a hold of that.
That's all right.
It's his whole thing. Rick Hummel's going to be with us, but first we have a Doug birthday celebration, courtesy of his wonderful son, the great John Vaughn.
It's a jubilee.
It is a jubilee. And there's a bottle of scotch or something over there?
Sparkling cider that he's brought in here. An alcoholic.
And I hope the people that are vile to you on Twitter and on the text line are listening now, and they realize your son is a wonderful kid. All your sons are great people.
That's right.
And for him to come in and take his time.
Yep.
He just kind of barged right in.
You know what it says? It says you're a good person, Doug, and you don't deserve the vileness. Now, all you need to do is free Dotem, and then we're
going to be freed. He won't be freed, so call me vile if you must.
Do you think that Dotem should be freed?
I think he should be. I might ask for that for my next birthday.
Well, you won't get it.
Wouldn't that be a great birthday present you give your son?
That would be.
Don't you think that
save me a lot of money? That's for sure.
It is a pie. It's a meringue. It's not supposed to hold up like 10 pounds of candles.
Tim, make them slow dance and touch noses. Thanks, Danny Tanner.
Oh, he didn't go to the Ani.
John Vaughn, greatest son ever. I'm a John Vaughn Lemming. That's from Zambo.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
John Vaughn is
John
a good
Vaughn
son.
Lemmings.
If Tyler ends up anywhere like John Vaughn, I'd be proud.
Oh, wow. How about that? This is a wonderful moment on this show.
Well.
Now, what do you got, Dockers and flip-flops going? It's like your business, but you're it's
what
like
he wears.
Business at the beach.
This is what he wears. He wears flip-flops when he's driving.
Well, I hope we don't light this place up.
Yeah, you're going to set off the alarms?
I don't know.
Well, maybe we shouldn't.
It's weird when someone sparked.
If you don't want me to, then I won't.
Okay, you don't have to call me father.
You make them call you father?
Never calls me father.
All the time I call
Ever.
Him father.
It's really weird. I think by habit, someone sparked up a lighter here, and all of a sudden, Plowsy has a bag of Funyuns in him. It's really.
It's hard to see what you get Funyuns seeing this. This is much better than Funyuns.
Yeah, well, thanks for all the Arnold Palmers. That'll be a treat.
That's nice, Doug. Yeah.
Can you carry them to Doug's car? He's a little older. And
where does he
carry
the boy dungeon when he gets home?
So
you acknowledge he does have a boy dungeon. Wow.
Yeah.
Heaven's sake.
And you want Dotem Freed.
I want Dotem Freed.
Wow.
And they're the dungeon.
I want the snakeheads also. That goes along.
Oh, Doug, now the Shrubwalker's here. Now there's a guy in our window. Man, this is a whole thing. What's you got there?
Get ready for an extra special birthday. Spanky, spanky. Heaven's sakes.
This is why Doug needs to drop the puck at a Stanley Cup final.
St. Louisans would respond.
And now he's spelling out something.
Gobble?
Go Blues.
Go Blues. Wobble?
If you guys ever. Yes, I see that. I see that shrub walker. Stop pointing.
There he goes. Always wears his jeans.
Now he runs. And then he runs away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
John, you are quite a son.
Thank you, Jimmy.
We're trying to figure out what it says. He's spelling out Go Blues. And our guess is gobble.
Well, I see the G-O-B-L.
Nah, it could have been gobble. I mean, if it was misspelled, it could have been gobble.
Joseph Goebbels. He was a disinformation minister in Nazi Germany.
Well, this is, Doug, isn't this one of the most special moments? Maybe next to that Caden Crossfoot Fetish Friday.
Well, do a poker read. What does his face tell you, Tim, about the emotion that Doug is feeling?
I've never seen him more emotional.
Mm-hmm. These are some of my favorite things, though. Lemon meringue pie and Arnold Palmer's. Yeah.
Like finger swiping.
Yeah, keep your fingers out of that if you don't
long
mind.
Long
oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I'll do that later, maybe.
Yeah, why don't you put your curious tongue in there?
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Can I give you my read, Tim?
As you know,
I play poker a little bit.
Of course.
I'm not a sharp by any,
right.
By any stretch of the imagination. I think right now you're uncomfortable because while Tim and myself are more me guys,
right.
Look at me, look at us.
Right.
You are not, and now it's everyone's looking at you, and that's not the role you're coming
right. Look at you for the spotlight. No,
look at you.
No, but I do like the Arnold Palmers and the lemon meringue pie. I'm a fan of that, of course.
I know you are.
So thank you. It's a nice gesture.
Oh, you're welcome, Dad.
Give him a hug. How about a hug?
Stand on the chair.
Free dodo.
Wow.
Free dodo.
What a great moment. This is what it's all about, Jackie Papers.
You might want to iron that shirt again.
That's like Dave and St. Peter's shirt.
You know, you look at Doug, and he's a man's man who's not afraid every once in a while to act like a woman. And I just think it makes America great. You're a great American.
You think that's what it is? All right, thank you. Well, thank you for the birthday wish.
That's what you're doing.
John Vaughn, what a treat this has been. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
What a wonderful gesture.
All right, thank you. Sure. He got his $20, too, didn't he?
Oh,
no, you can have the...
Keep it. Why don't you drop it off here? Cat and I'll split it. 10 apiece.
That was great.
What a great moment.
Well, it was okay. It was fine, you know.
Are you proud of your boy?
Sure. I don't care for the flip-flops, the dress pants and the tie.
Or I'd imagine the dungeon or free dotem talk.
Well, some of that's exaggerated.
He's a good kid. Now, what's he doing now? Where's he working?
He's right now he's at Bravo in West County. He's about to start a job with a construction company. I'm excited about that. So, you know, maybe even he might... I think about moving out at some point. He's 47 years old now.
I didn't know he was older than me.
He's 47. Yeah.
You know, it's a good little push in that direction.
What?
You get one of those reverse mortgages so the kids know you're not inheriting this house.
Right.
So don't get too comfortable.
Yeah, that might add some incentive. No, you're welcome in the house. He's still here. So, yeah, we'd love having you. Well, you're welcome. Yeah.
It's not really my house anymore, son.
Clean up
the bank
bathroom.
Owns it, really, because it's a reverse mortgage situation.
Mm-hmm. What'd y'all do for Mother's Day?
I worked about 12 hours at Channel 4. That's what I did.
Did you get your
today
wife?
For my birthday? I'll work maybe 17 hours.
That's kind
of
nice.
I'll get out of Channel 4 about 12:30 in the morning. It's just I'm just
providing.
Living the dream. That's what I'm doing. Just absolutely living the dream.
You're providing for your family,
yeah.
And that's reward.
And that's about all I'm doing.
Now, what did you get your wife for Mother's Day? She's raised fine young boys. She gets a lot of the credit, too.
Some new marble countertops.
Really?
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
Yeah.
How much did that set you back?
Hmm? About $800.
Did you install them yourself?
Did you win that on DraftKings?
No, I won't install them myself. I can't install marble
Good.
Countertops.
Well,
I can take the old ones off.
You like to sometimes get a project together.
Yeah, I don't mind a project. You know what I can take the old ones off.
They're not a sponsor, but maybe they should be. But my wife said, when you come home from work, I said, whatever you want. We can go anywhere you want.
Name it.
Price is no object. You want Golden Corral, go Golden Corral.
Really?
It will be.
Right.
But she said, why don't we just stay in? Can you pick up from Katie's Pizza?
Oh, yeah, right there in Rock Hill, baby.
Yeah. So I took out from there. Let's got her a few little Corral, gifts, though. A little balloon that said you're awesome.
Golden Corral's all you can eat, though, huh?
Yeah, but then you have to go.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, too, you end up people not paying, and all you hear is people yelling, anyone need a ride to the ballpark?
No, that's going on there, too. Yeah. That was an Embassy Suites thing.
Yeah, that happens at Embassy Suites from time to time. But it's usually completely innocent.
Rick Hummel,
looking to see if
we see him down at the Embassy Suites. I don't know if we see him at the Embassy Suites, but I know we see him in Jupiter, Florida for the Cardinal spring training, and he's with us throughout the course of the baseball season here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Commish, good morning.
Hi, boys.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine.
Good. We were just having a discussion regarding the Cardinal lineup and if it is a time to perhaps reconsidering the order as Matt Holliday is struggling in the three spot. Aledmys Diaz continues to rake. He was in the seventh spot yesterday. What's your view on that?
Well, the lineup is not going to be the lineup till you get Peralta back. That's a big miss that very few people talk about here. This is a very important player to them, both in the field and at bat. And when you knock him into that five or six spot in the lineup, it looks a lot different. Now, this Holliday thing came up yesterday in a discussion with a coworker, and I'm of the opinion he needs some more time in that spot. Yeah, his average is 235 or 240, whatever. But he's hit the ball a little harder than that. And I still think he's the one guy the other team is afraid of more than anybody else in the Cardinals lineup. So I'm not ready to make that move just yet. Diaz will gradually move up in the lineup, I think, yes. And it'll be interesting to see how they do the lineup with no pitcher in it the next three games here.
Well, even when Peralta comes back, you got to keep Diaz in there somewhere. You think he goes to second base? What will they do with him?
Well, I think second base is definitely a possibility because neither second baseman has hit much. You got Wong at 208 or 209, and Jericho with some power at 197. Well, neither one of those is acceptable when you got a guy hitting 400 available to you. And he can also play some third if you want, and you can put Carpenter at first base. Now, I know you have a lot of first basemen already, and those guys have actually produced pretty well. But there's all kinds of possibilities. But Diaz will be in the lineup somewhere.
Tommy Pham rehabbing that oblique with Memphis. John Mozeliak told me they want to be extra careful with the oblique because those things can be a little tricky. But they have a tough decision to make once he's good to go, don't they?
Yeah. It isn't necessarily just outfielder for outfielder. I mean, you got Hazelbaker hitting just under 300 with six home runs. I know he's had a little more of a tough time lately than he had his first 3 or 4 weeks in the big leagues, but he's hitting 297 or something with six home runs, and he's a good defensive outfielder, and he's got good speed. Now, Tejada hasn't played very much. You could look at that as a possibility, and surely when Peralta comes back, Tejada will be in jeopardy, if not before. If you would let him go and bring Pham up, you have only one extra infielder, whether it's Jericho or Wong, but you still have Greg Garcia at the minors if you need somebody right away. And it is interesting. You know, Pham's going to have to – he won a job in the spring, but now he's going to have to earn it back.
You know, when we talk about who's going to play where and how are you going to get everybody at bats, I guess the answer is everybody plays. The lineup's different almost every night. You think that's a good thing to keep everybody involved, or would it be better to have a set eight that you play more often than not?
I think both. I think it's better to have a set lineup, but this seems to have worked. Everybody they've played this year has done something. Even Tejada's had a couple RBIs as a reserve player. Diaz and Hazelbaker, what if they hadn't played much early in the season? What would we be looking at here now? Jericho had some home runs. Moss and Adams have done well. Fryer is, what do you see, 7-for-11 with the few games he's played. So it seems to have worked. They just haven't had any consistency in their pitching more than anything else. Their starting pitching hasn't been as good as they thought. Bullpen's been fine. Defense has been better lately, but still it's been less than adequate for most of the year.
Yeah, especially the infield defense, which is a real problem. And you talk about starting pitching. I thought it would be better than it has been. But from Wainwright, we do see improvement. After his last start, he said, I found that other gear I've been searching for. And it seemed he has found something, doesn't it?
I agree. The important guy is the guy pitching tomorrow, Leak. He's 0-3 in six starts, and ZRA is 6-something. he hasn't been quite that bad, but he's had four games he's given up three runs or more in an inning, and you can't do that and be a successful pitcher. You should be giving up three runs a game, not three runs an inning.
What did you think about the way Martinez left on Friday night? Is that something to worry about?
Well, he's going to get some extra rest this time. He looked a little better yesterday, and he's going to have 7 days between starts before he goes out Saturday. So I don't think so. That'll be, you know, when he pitches Saturday, about 3 weeks after he first got sick, he ought to be okay by then.
And it, for folks that don't know, he left the game with fatigue, and they said it was sort of a lingering effect from the flu bug, which he had battled in his previous start. And he, Mike Matheny said before the game he took his IV. They hydrated him. He seemed high energy. Then along the way, he just lost his strength.
I guess we should have noticed. You should have noticed during the early part of the game, he didn't seem to have that energy. He wasn't dancing around. He wasn't, you know, wasn't the showman that he usually is when he's playing. But he was getting through the early innings okay, and then he didn't.
I was kind of surprised yesterday with the game on the line, 4-2 in the seventh inning. They went to Matt Bowman right there. I know you got to have a pitcher that comes in when the game's a little lopsided one direction or another. He kind of makes me nervous. Were you surprised that he was put in a high-leverage situation there against the Pirates?
Well, not the way he's pitched lately. Now, that was a bad game for him yesterday, although that home run that Polanco had just barely got over the wall. But the first four guys, the only four guys he faced, did reach base. So what I did see was Maness pitching well again yesterday, where that usually is Maness's inning. The last 3 years, that would have been his inning. So maybe there'll be a little change as we go along here. But that's Bowman's first Rocky one in a while. And I was not surprised, no.
What did you think of Waka? Really good in the first, four innings? First three, I think he went 1-2-3, 1-2-3, got out of trouble in the fourth, and then had some issues.
Sometimes, Cat, you come down to one at-bat in a game, and John Jaso, who's not, you know, the greatest hitter of our times, but he battled him for nine pitches. He finally got a changeup he could handle and hit a home run to break a 1-1 tie and make it 3-1. That was the most decisive play of an entire three-hour operation there, and Waka just lost to a better man in that particular at-bat. I think, for the most part, he was pretty good yesterday. He had a lot of swings and misses on his changeup, except for one notable exception, and I thought he was okay, but they've only scored two runs for him in his last three starts.
Rick, in all your years covering baseball, have you seen anyone with a worse hairdo than John Jaso?
Well, Manny Ramirez has had a few over the years, but not too many, no.
Who was that? Arroyo with Cincinnati had that look 1 year, didn't he? Didn't have this very similar look?
Bronson, yeah, I think so. But Manny Ramirez comes to mind. Although Manny, I think, tried to make it that way. I'm not sure about Jaso.
Going back to the 70s, there were some very nice afros. Remember the Oscar Gamble thing where, you know, it looked like he had an enormous balloon on his head or something?
Yeah, George Hendrick had a pretty good afro when he played for the Cardinals in the 70s and early 80s, too.
How do you think this road trip is going to go?
Well, they're playing an Angels team, which is just horrible right now. They're just swept by Tampa Bay. I think they scored five runs in a series at home. They have the six starters they used most last year. Either the four of them are either on disabled list or in the minors, so they're a mess right now. This is the time you've got to jump on them. The Dodgers is a different story. You try not to get just try to win as many games as you can and try not to get swept in Dodger Stadium, but you should win the series against the Angels.
Well, they got to get something going soon. Folks are getting a little impatient, don't you think?
They are. I think when Peralta comes back, I refuse to judge them until Peralta's back. But it's not great right now, but it's not awful either.
Rick Hummel with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, joining us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Commish, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you, man.
There he is, Rick Hummel with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. He is a guest throughout the course of the baseball season on this show and our other shows on CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM 920 AM and InsideSTL.com. We redid the website and our app on Inside STL, and part of the job was done by a variety of companies, but Mascot Agency was one of them. They are 314-650-9083, 314-650-9083, mascotagency.com. Web design, logo design, marketing and advertising, social media. It's creative that works as hard as you do. Come one, come all, come big, come small. They work with clients of every size and every industry. Follow them on Twitter at Meet Mascot and give them a call, 314-650-9083. They're online at mascotagency.com. It's where passion meets practicality. Mascot Agency. Kelly Chase brought to you by GFI Digital will be coming up at around
9 o'clock. The Cardinals very supportive of the Blues effort. And here is what Adam Wainwright had to say every time the foghorn goes off during a Cardinal game.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
Wasn't it awesome? He was so excited. I struck out Cervelli right there. The crowd went crazy. They really were behind me right there. It was awesome.
Did you immediately recognize what was going on, or was it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we know that noise. That's the Blues scored. Go Blue. We're all rooting for the Blues, too. We want them to score as many goals as they can.
Adam Wainwright. He likes her in the foghorn. Fun with audio brought to you by Llewellyn's Pub. Take their trolley from Soulard to the Blues game this evening. It's Llewellyn's Pub. Pony up pre and post. Save your money on parking and take the Llewellyn's trolley to and fro at Llewellyn, sponsor of Fun with Audio.
Now, did the guy wait until after the pitch to hit the foghorn, or did he do it at the exact instant the Blues score? Because that could be very distracting if you hit that foghorn when another guy's batting, another team's batting.
I don't think he did it in the middle of a pitch, no. I think it was...
He waited an instant.
Yeah. I think he had just struck somebody out, if memory serves.
Yeah, that's what he said. He just struck out.
So it wasn't in the middle of the pitch. He just struck the guy out. They hit the sound.
Now, I just saw this pop up on my face bin. Has this been discussed yet? It's not just Doug's birthday? Are you aware of this?
No.
Okay. It's the Sea Monster's birthday as well.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Why didn't you say something this morning?
I'd forgotten about that.
Look, Sea Monster got a Sea Monster.
Happy birthday, Sea Monster.
I didn't want to take away the focus on Doug.
No, I'd like to take it away.
Yeah, I don't like either one of you taking the focus away from me. I'm uncomfortable with the whole thing.
You can share in this wonderful lemon meringue pie that's been brought in.
I probably will, although right. I'm a little under the weather. So I don't
What's wrong, baby? What's wrong?
Breathe on it. I got some allergies or something going
really?
On.
Really?
You know, it'd be great if you guys boozed a little bit and then started throwing around the pie and smashing in each other's face.
Well, there's no booze here.
What are you, 31?
32.
32 bills. That's a 32-year-old sea monster.
Who used to be wholesome and clean living, and now he seems to enjoy some of the vileness anyway.
Well, he hasn't necessarily fought it, has he?
No.
He's booked a few guests that seem to play right into that. He's come up with a few story ideas that have been less than, you know, what a churchgoer might expect.
Guys like us.
Right.
I mean, if I believed in that.
Our show, for the most part, is based on Scripture. And sometimes when it gets vile, you know, it's uncomfortable for us.
Some sort of religious writings.
Mm-hmm. Things we've read on scrolls.
In Sanskrit, perhaps.
And the fact that it goes off the rails only occasionally is disappointing to many.
How come you didn't read the card? I think you should read the card.
Oh, my God!
One of the rudest things.
I didn't see the card.
And my wife pulled this on me, right? Like, you put out gifts. The polite thing to do is you look at the card because that's the sentiment. You don't just go for, hey, what I get. And what Doug did, he started... feeding sea monster meringue, which was a little hot, but he forgot to read the card.
I
so why don't you open the card, thank your son again. He's
all right,
still
thank
here.
You again.
And then let the listeners know what it said.
Wow, this will be wonderful.
Okay, let's see. It's your birthday. Happy laugh, enjoy, have fun, make a wish, blow out the candles, and most of all, know how very much you're loved. Happy birthday.
What do you mumble?
Happy year. I have to make sure that it's okay.
Can I see
before,
it?
No.
You thought your son would give you something vile?
Possibly. May it be a year worthy of all that you deserve and hope for. Love your family. Oh, nice. Thank you.
Well, why'd you mumble your way through it?
Thank you. Well, it's a private card. It's not just because you want it to be read on the airway. Doesn't mean I'm going
John,
to do it.
Didn't you want that read on the air? Yes, he did. Your son wanted it. Oh. And you know what? When you do your Ragazzi's or Ryan Kelly reads, you do it proudly and loudly.
Wonderfully.
When it's about you because you're not a me guy, you're like, and I hope for this.
Yeah, well, I didn't know what was going to be on there.
We love you.
You have to be careful.
Your sons, obviously, your family loves you, but the listeners love you. Mm-hmm. St. Louis loves you.
St. Louisans.
Or Doug Vaughn to drop the ceremonial puck at the Stanley Cup final. Let's go Blues.
We wouldn't want that.
No, that's go Blues.
No. Yes, yes, let's go Blues, but not me involved in any way.
Doug, here's a birthday gift to you.
What's that?
Tim, I had posted on the fan page yesterday about an MFF situation I had Saturday. I am hesitant to come on the air for fear of me letting something slip that does not need to be on the air. There could be repercussions for me and the other lady involved. I would be willing to construct a carefully worded email to give you the lowdown on the event. If you have any questions that you want answered, let me know. And if you're not interested at all, no problem. Is that written by an attorney?
So you're going to call him, aren't you?
No, I mean, please send in your email with details. I think it's great that our listeners are having threesomes. Don't you?
Yes, and let's make a legal case out of an email over something that may or may not have really happened. That could be a figment of someone's imagination.
You're assuming, of course, that everything you read on this text line and on the fan page is accurate.
I believe it is. I actually believe it
Sure it is.
Yeah, Big Al.
Hello, Al. Hello, Al.
Doug.
Yes.
I'm sleeping away. My phone's going off. It's my wife. I'm thinking it's an emergency. She goes, honey, wake up, wake up. I go, what? She goes, it's Doug's birthday. John Vaughn brought him a lemon pie.
Mm-hmm.
I go, you woke me up for that.
That's a reasonable response.
So you know what, Doug?
Yo.
Happy birthday, because if I had a bell toll for every age that year that you are, we'd have to. I'd go through the email of the day, just keep going. But anyway, go Blues. Happy 77th anniversary. Mm. You look good for your age.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to let you know that I've talked to Timmy about it. I'm reviewing your sports cast.
Yeah.
And I'm freezing them, and I'm at the end when you're done talking and you're looking at your beautiful women there, and I'm taking a tape measure at with the frozen screen, and I'm drawing them, taking the tape, and I'm going right to where you're looking. And I ask my wife, I go, what does he keep looking at? And she goes, I think he likes to see what those girls' necklaces they have on. I said, really? I said, because he's not looking at their faces. I was just wondering why he keeps looking down all the time. So she said, I think he really likes the jewelry and the things that they wear. So I was wrong about what I was thinking you were looking at. So I apologize. So
are you talking about when the sports is over and we walk over to the desk and I'm standing like 2 feet taller than them, so I have to look
and
down to make eye contact?
I freeze the screen and I take a tape measure. And I take it from your eyes like my F-15 laser shot, and I go right to where your target line is, and it hits the necklaces. That's what my wife says. She sticks up for you. And by the way, next week my Blue Angels are in town, and yes, Doug, I built them when I actually worked for Boeing. Now I sell to them, but when I worked there,
you built
the Blue
Angels.
In the fact that I built the Blue Angels.
By hand, you did it.
Well, no, I did handle some of the parts they were on. I didn't test fly them or anything, but I handled a lot of the parts.
Can I workshop this for a quick second?
Huh?
So your wife called you at 8:50 and woke you up.
Yeah.
So you're sleeping in. Because usually if there's any sort of event, you're there, you're drinking.
What's tonight, Kat?
Blues?
Yeah.
But what about work? Where does work enter the equation?
I'm working right now. Because I thought either it was work or my wife had an emergency, but no, it's Doug's birthday, whoop-de-doo. So anyway, I'm getting my rest so I can get smashed up tonight because we're winning game 6 and we're putting the Stars to bed like we did the Featherheads, and then we're going to bring on the little Sharks and we're going to take their fins off, cut their heads off, and then we're going to move on to the Penguins, and then we're going to take their little skin off. And then we're going to have Doug drop the puck game 7, and we're going to win the cup.
Well, he should.
So, hey, Kat, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Timmy, I love you,
God
and
bless.
I'm going back to bed.
There he is, Doug.
Happy birthday, Doug.
Well, thank you. I'm sorry your wife woke you up. I feel the same way. I didn't tell her to wake you up.
I flew with those Blue Angels one time.
Did you vomit like the vomit comet?
I didn't, but you go up there, and I was up there 40 minutes. When I came down, like with the G-force, they teach you how to breathe and everything. Like, I had to pour myself out of the cot, and I basically fell on the tarmac.
Mm.
And my wife was there, are you okay? And the pilot, who looked like a model from GQ, and he looked like he just got out of the shower. I mean, I was on the verge of collapse, and he's like, how was it? Ting, a little smile on his face. Those guys must be
they get used to it, sure.
Doug Salt and Smoke, it's Bringus Yedingus. 6525 Del Mar Boulevard, barbecue, bourbon, and beer. Over 100 different bourbons, craft and barrel-aged cocktails, craft beers. They're passionate about treating meat right. It's Texas-style barbecue in the Del Mar Loop. Support the sponsors, Salt and Smoke, 314-727-0200. Maybe I'll do a little Postmates with Salt and Smee tonight.
Oh, wow. Boy, wouldn't that be clever?
God, that'd be good. And that would be a delicious little treat. I don't have to leave the house, and I get the official brisket of the Ryan Kelly Morning After.
Mm-hmm. So you're not going to the game?
I'm back and forth on it.
All right. right?
Well, the Lemmings need to know
they
by
need to
noon.
Know.
By noon, they need to
know. Yeah, it seems like they want you there.
Have the station put out a news release, please. Channel 4 will break into programming.
Mm-hmm. Doug, Evolve Personal Fitness is where I tighten it up.
That's right.
It's Doug Schlenk, not Plank. Plank played for the Bears. This is Doug Schlenk.
What a hitter.
3808 South Lindbergh is where they are. And you can check it out for yourself by giving them a call at 314-849-7400. One-on-one training, group training, but it's a private gym. And you get away from the big box gyms, and you can experience training and nutritional advice at Evolve Personal Fitness. You want to be tight and rewarding. I know a lot of people are looking forward to going down to the Lake of the Ozarks.
Recently rated the number one lake in America.
How about that?
Recreation.
Yeah. Getting on the back of a cigarette boat and showing themselves off. Make sure you're in peak condition by going to Evolve Personal Fitness. Kelly Chase going to join us, presented by GFI Digital. That's at the top of the hour. Love the Kelly Chase interviews, getting his perspective on Game 6, what took place over the weekend in Game 5, and then looking around the Stanley Cup playoffs. One of the final four already determined. And both the Blues and Sharks can advance to the Western Conference Finals with wins this evening. The Penguins on the brink with Laissez Capital in the Eastern Conference semifinals. Kelly Chase presented by GFI Digital on the other side of the break. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After. CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM 920 AM InsideSTL.com live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.